Well, welcome, Julie. Thank you for joining School SOS Radio as our guest. Perhaps we could start by you explaining your role and what sort of activities and strategies that you put into place as a result of being in that role.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about what I'm doing. So at the moment, I'm an executive primary lead for a multi-academy trust, and I also run my own business, ironically called SOS. So that what I do in my MAT role is exactly what I did as an executive head teacher last year. I spent 6 years working with two schools, transforming it to update the curriculum, change it entirely, improve the culture and ethos and the well-being for everybody, and in turn building on academic success. Well, the Multi Academy Trust saw what happened in those two schools. They liked what they saw and they asked me to come and work with their primary schools. So that's effectively what I'm doing now is I'm changing the curriculum, changing how we do everything. You know, our education system, I think we know at the moment, doesn't really serve the children of 2050 going into the workplace. And so we are changing everything to ensure that we're sending children out ready for the world of work, you know, the new work, the new technological era, and not the 1950s. So we're working hard on that.
And when you change the curriculum, what impact that had on well-being?
Right, so it all started when, you know, new initiatives come from the government. We've all been there as head teachers. We're told we need to squeeze in a bit more into the curriculum. There's that discussion at staff meeting where you're dreading having it because you know where it's going. And the staff say, there's no time. I can't do that and everything else. So what am I going to drop in order to take that on? And your argument is you can't. You just have to squeeze even more in. Sorry, but that's how it is. And you kind of walk away and you think, I've just ruined their week, and they are now going to have to find a way to squeeze more into their day. The staff go home feeling how this isn't possible. They're always asking me to do the impossible. And everyone is now feeling that the purpose is disappearing, that our reasoning for being there every day is becoming a little bit blurred. And everyone's under stress. Everyone is so stressed. Now that stress, without doubt, will come down onto the children. You know, stressed heads mean stressed teachers mean stressed children. So I kind of sat back and I thought, I have to do something about this. I'm not happy with staff feeling really stressed because that is going to make my children suffer. And so I have to look after the staff. And now I remember reading a book and it said, you know, to look after your customer, you must look after your staff. And I thought, well, my customer are the children, so my focus has to be the teachers. So I looked at the curriculum because that seems to cause most arguments of how we're supposed to do it all. And I decided they're right. The teachers are absolutely right. They're professionals at the end of the day. They're right in what they're saying. You can't squeeze all that in if you're going to run a timetable. If you're going to say an hour of this and an hour of that and an hour of that, it can't all be done. It's not physically possible unless we keep the children until 6, which we can't do. So something had to give. So what I did was I literally threw the baby out with the bathwater and decided we had to go back to what do we want to achieve with these children and our curriculum. So we went and looked at the intent. So the intent was the key starting point, and we said, what do we want for these children? We want them to love every subject. We want them to love learning. We want them to be happy. We want them to be resilient. I want the staff to want to come to work. I want them to get excited when they wake up in the morning. I want them to go to bed thinking about the great day they're going to have the next day. And that was only going to happen if we binned everything and started from the beginning. So that's precisely what we did. We went back to the very original statements in the curriculum, the objectives that set out in the national curriculum, because they were maintained schools, so we were obliged to teach those. And we went and we listed all of the objectives in the national curriculum, but we removed subjects. So we said, let's stop saying we have to do an hour of history, or we have to do an hour of art. We've got to take that away. And we've just got to say a child in year two, for instance, needs to meet all these objectives. How can we make sure that that happens? Because it's a maintained school, we must. But the workload on teachers is far, far less. So the children are doing 80% of the work, the teachers are doing 20%. I wanted to remove marking. I wanted to get rid of that entirely because it serves no purpose at all. I wanted to get rid of planning. Now, I know that seems quite bizarre, but I wanted to get rid of this. If teachers don't write down every question they're going to ask in the lesson, then the lesson's not good enough, which is an absolute nonsense. So it's really important we treat teachers as the professionals that they are. They ask questions in class because their AFL is on point. So we have to allow them to do that. Now, you can't plan that because you're responding to the child. Now, in my opinion, every time a teacher writes a clear lesson plan or all the things they're going to cover that week, they try to stick to it to deem themselves successful. Whereas, where does the child come into this? So we have to have the child leading the learning, and the teachers have to become the facilitators of that. So teachers have to stop trying to shove information into children's heads and fill their heads with knowledge and then tick boxes to say, yeah, I told them that, so they know it now, which is ridiculous. We have to now say, well, let's facilitate an opportunity for the child to discover and learn that. And then you can tick your box saying they've got it. So now they become facilitators and no longer teachers. So when I went to the staff, I have to say they were very open to this huge transformation, a very different way of working. The children were going to plan the whole term with their learning, their whole term's learning with the teacher. So none of this planning for days before we go in at the start of term, because the teacher does it with the children in the first week. They plan their whole term. And the teacher's only role really is to facilitate that learning and get those learning objectives in there very cleverly, which they are very good at that, slide those in where they best fit what the children want to learn about. So the children were choosing their own projects, choosing how they wanted to finish the term, what they would deem as success criteria. They planned the whole term and the teachers did it in their working day with the children. I want teachers to go home at 4 o'clock. I want teachers to come in at 8:30 in the morning, and I don't want them carrying books home. That's got to stop. And I don't see that the children writing reams and reams and reams of stuff in their books says that they're good learners. I don't believe that for a second. So we have to come away from all our thinking that we thought was good, because I don't believe it is, quite honestly. I don't think what we've been doing is good at all. And all we've done is drive some brilliant teachers out of the profession. And we've taught a lot of children that school's boring, so, and it serves no purpose. And I would actually agree with many of those children. So I did do all that. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do it with the staff and we're going to see if this works. When I told the staff, two of them cried and said, thank you. I can't believe this. We're actually going to get an opportunity to do what we actually believe is right. And that was a relief for me, I guess, that I had my tribe and we were going to do this, you know. And we went right back to what do we do and why do we do it? So you've got to come back to the question, why? Why are you marking books? You know, why are you writing lesson plans? I remember when I used to go and do drop in on a class, I'd say, oh, can I pop in and see how the children are doing? And they go, oh, do you want a lesson plan? Why? I don't plan on taking the lesson. Why would you give me a lesson plan? That really is only suitable for a supply teacher. And even then, I'd only give them the objective and a few ideas of what resources you got. Again, these are professional people. They know what they're doing. So why on earth would I want a lesson plan? No, I just want to see, are the children engaged? Do they want to be there? Do they see purpose in being where they are? But more importantly than anything, what I want to see is that relationship between the children and the staff. I want the staff to care about the children. I want the staff to believe in them. And I want the staff to be brave enough to take a step back and let the children take more of a lead so that the teacher is the facilitator. It's quite a different role, but it cuts their workload by about 50%, if not more. But what it does give teachers is the joy back. It gives them back the joy. So when I see a member of staff saying, yeah, my job's okay, it's all right, pays the mortgage, you know, I think, what have I done? what on earth have I done to take the joy out of that teacher's job for them to sit there and see it as something to pay the mortgage? Teaching is a massive privilege, and every student who goes into teaching is passionate. So what have I done to take that passion away? And I guess that's what I did, is I wanted to go back and say, look, you know, why am I here? Why are the staff here? Why am I here? Why are the children here? Why are the parents choosing my school? And let's go back and start all over again. If this was a brand new school and I was just opening it up, would it look like this? Not a chance. Not a chance would it look like that. So I thought then, well, then I got to make it the way I think it should be. The impact, you asked about the impact, was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So, I mean, absence in children, you know, went basically. The only, looking on the registers, the only time they were off was when we told them to be off for 48 hours for vomiting and diarrhea. Otherwise, they were all in all of the time. The staff never had an absence again, didn't need supply teachers anymore. The staff were happy. Their relationship with the children changed because the children were now saying what they needed from the teacher. So they would say, look, we want to know this and we want to do that and we want to do a play and we want to write a book or whatever. So we're going to need this from you. The teacher says, okay, you tell me what you need from me. I'll make sure I put that in place during the term so that I can help you be the success we both believe you will be. It's a very different way of looking at learning. But what happens is the child now needs the teacher and they need their expertise and they need their support. So there's a whole new level of respect being shared. The teachers are not forcing the children to try and remember something. Instead, they are there saying, I'm here to support you and I believe in you. So the teachers are getting their joy back. They're getting that passion back of watching children discover and learn. So they get so excited about what they're doing. They're not tired. You know, no one's tired anymore. No one's frustrated. And we actually found by changing how we taught the curriculum and all the changes that we made, the children met those objectives far quicker. So they were meeting the whole year's objectives within two-thirds of the year, which then allowed for much more free time, fun time, yoga, music, singing, forest school, and things that the teachers wanted to do. So the teachers would plan exciting, fun things for the whole school and children just because they could, because it's fun and they had that kind of relationship. Water fights. I mean, you know, teachers would actually plan in a water fight with the children, but we had time to do it, so why not? And it built their relationship and their respect and their happiness, really. Their joy at being together was so important. So it had a huge impact. It also meant more children were meeting the expected standard and more children were meeting greater depth because it was self-driven, which of course then, I guess teachers see that as a measure of success, don't they? And so they were really happy that they were meeting everything that was expected of them, but enjoying it at the same time. So yeah, teacher retention is a big one. That, you know, teachers aren't going to leave that situation in very quickly, are they? And so, yeah, so the CWET came to me and said, we want that. And the Quantic Education Trust, they came and said, we want that for our staff. We want everything to revolve around the child, but we want the teacher to be the facilitator. We want the teacher's workload to be cut in half. We want them to love coming to work. We want, at the moment, we're looking at replacing appraisals with coaching because I'm now coaching all the staff and it's having a huge impact. They are just, you know, becoming ambitious and driven and excited again. And of course, then they make things happen far quicker. So instead of meeting three targets a year, they're meeting 15, but they're targets they set themselves and they're excited to achieve. So everyone's moving at a much faster pace, but with gusto and fun and excitement, and then that completely changes their relationship with the children. There's respect. There isn't that. They're not dealing with behavioural issues. Behavioural issues have just disappeared completely, and that's huge because that's a real stress for teachers to deal with. So you know, you've got to get rid of every barrier that stops the teacher being the best they can be. And we know the teacher's the best they can be when they can be passionate and they're not dealing with behavioural issues or paperwork or bureaucracy. We have to remove all of those barriers for teachers. And what you see then is everything they plan to be when they enter teaching.
So this is a final question, because our 20 minutes has gone very quickly.
Wow.
Some people would say, some heads might say, some teachers might say, well, this is all very well, it all sounds great, but what happens when Ofsted come and inspect you? Because you're offering a very different kind of teaching to most schools.
That's a really good question. A lot of people ask me that. What I will say to you is I had an Ofsted just before the new framework, okay, a couple of years ago, just literally a couple of months before the new September framework came in. And I had two inspectors because I had two schools and we did both of them on the same day. And basically the comments they said to me were, it's a shame we're not in a new framework because you'd be outstanding. Your children are so knowledgeable. We don't find that knowledge necessarily written in reams in books. But when we talk to your children, they have so much to say and they are incredibly knowledgeable. And the key one for me was, we asked your children, do your teachers care about you and care for you? And they said, well, not really care. They love us. And so I guess, yeah, but they just love us. And so they said, your children know the true meaning of love. They love the staff here. They really respect them and they admire them. They look up to them. They value them. And they also value each other. The children value each other. The staff value each other. And she said, I've never been to a school like this, never. And she was just sad it wasn't under the new framework. We met all the objectives. The children were meeting ARE and greater depth, but we were more than that. It was a happy place and it was productive. Children were making a difference in the world. They were on radio. They were writing plays for the community. They were writing leaflets. They were out there in the world changing it. And they were really impressed with that.
Julie Norman, it's been inspiring to talk to you and to listen to your wonderful school. We must have you back on another occasion to expand a bit more, because 20 minutes is no time at all.
It's a big subject.
But thank you so much for willing to be interviewed on School SOS Radio, and we hope to see you again soon. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.